Welcome to this program where I normally interview politicians and other people, you know, worldwide. So at the end of the day, I just decided to talk to you today. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
No, thank you very much.
Now, Mr. Kabuza, your party, the MTCT, has got some internal struggles. So tell us, are these struggles something that will end very soon?
Well, certainly we are hopeful and we are quite certain that these struggles are going to end very soon, because they are not real struggles. These are just small struggles that are not anything to write home about. Just a few problems that we've identified the origins, and we know how it's going to end. Yeah.
Now, you may call these small struggles, Mr. Kabuza, but we certainly believe, or let me say some critics, believe that most probably this will shake the MTC to its foundation. What do you think about that?
No, certainly I don't think that's correct, because, well, these struggles are more pronounced in the media than they are on the ground. You have to understand that the main issue here, it was about the letter that Honorable Mangoma wrote to the president, which in his first instance we just brushed it off and we thought it had ended. But unfortunately, when it went to the media, it was misinterpreted and, you know, ballooned and enlarged, and he made it a bigger issue than it was actually. So that's why we are quite hopeful that these struggles are not going to, because we have to also understand that as we move towards the Congress, this is expected, because as we talk of Congress, politicians start running all over, trying to come for support and suffer very deep in their campus. You know?
Now, it seems as if the main problem is Mr. Tsvangirai. Do you agree?
Not at all. Mr. Tsvangirai is not even a problem at all. He's actually a solution to the problem.
Can you justify that?
Well, firstly, Mr. Tsvangirai is the face of the struggle in this country. And everyone knows that without Tsvangirai, currently we can't defeat ZANU-PF, because even ZANU-PF itself is aware that with Tsvangirai's presence, even their succession battles are going to be even a longer problem than they would be if Tsvangirai was not there. So it will be in ZANU-PF's favor to have Tsvangirai out of the question. So certainly Tsvangirai is not the problem, it's actually the solution. He is a problem to the ZANU-PF succession question.
Now, you almost sound like some people in ZANU-PF who always say the party will never be the same without Robert Mugabe. Am I wrong here?
No. What you should understand, we are not saying, because our problem is not that Tsvangirai is indispensable. He is, but what we are simply saying, it has to be done properly in the following our constitution. And we normally change our leaders at Congress. And Tsvangirai has not completed his first term of after he was elected in Congress. So we expect him to be removed or reinstated at Congress, not just midway, for no apparent reason. We don't like to expect that to be the correct position.
We are told, really, that some of the people that are involved in this renewal agenda include Mr. Tendai Biti. Are you taking any disciplinary action against him?
Tendai Biti, for now, remains our Secretary General of the party, and there's not been any evidence to link him to any. Now, you have to understand that as we move towards the Congress, like I indicated, there are many people who aspire to take over positions. It could be Tendai's position, it could be Tsvangirai's position. And certainly, our belief is that there are some people who are taking advantage of the problems that are in the party now to try and further their Congress agendas, which will be in a year or two's time. So it's certainly not about BT, but it's about people who want to take over positions of certain individuals within the party. After Congress, all this will be brought under the bridge. Like already now, we've identified where the problem is, and I'm quite sure it's almost brought under the bridge now.
Are you sure that the issues have been resolved? We still have some people saying that they belong to the MTC, like Mr. Mangoma. He still insists that he's part of the MTC. You talk to Mr. Mkwananzi. He believes that is part of the MTC. And his colleagues are saying the same thing. So what are you talking about here?
Yes, they would wish to be the MTC. They still wish to be the MTC. They never thought the MTC would take those drastic measures. If they still want to be the MTC, they have to appeal in the normal procedures as founded in our constitution. But currently, those individuals, as you mentioned, have been suspended from the party. They've been expelled from the party. they are no longer with the party. They might wish to be the MDC, but they'll have to reconsider their position and reapply if they so wish to be members. And we'll have to relook at their grievances if they have any position. If you break the laws of the party, you have to face the consequences.
Now, turning to another issue, Mr. Kapuza, I interviewed Mr. Welshman Ngobe, who actually indicated that there could be something on the works in terms of a unity of some sort with other opposition parties. But he ruled out possibilities that Mr. Tsvangirai can be leader of this kind of coalition towards the 2018 elections. What could be your reaction to that?
Well, certainly Welshman is an interested party. If there is no Tsvangirai, then he sees himself as the leader of the party. But I don't want to dwell very much on that, because if you have to talk of coalition of all, you can't select individuals. You have to bring in everyone on board, and the people have to choose who is likely to take over, because we want to put a candidate who has got a lot of support and is able to destroy ZANU-PF. You don't just put people because you don't like them or you like them. You put people based on democratic principles, based on what people prefer, the majority of people prefer.
So you believe that his comments were actually misplaced, do you?
No. I have a difficulty with politicians who take personalities, into politics. I think that is the major problem which I see with our Israel colleague in terms of Welshman's position, because he really seems to have a personal dislike for Tsvangirai. Why would you just single out an individual whom you know has got majority of support on the ground, and you still want to rule him out of the question of unity?
Now we come to a certain issue. You know, there is always this conflict with Mr. Ngobe, and at the end of the day, I think most probably it's all about the principles within the MTC. Tell us, Mr. Kapuza, about his advisors. Does he really listen to the last man?
Well, if there are some people who think he listens to the last man, well, those are their positions. But Tsvangirai's leadership certainly has to be guided by the party's constitution and the party's position, the party's policies. There is nothing that he can do which is going to be outside the party's policies. So certainly, if anybody has these, or those are their personal views and their personal thoughts, which they are entitled to, by the way. But as the MDC, we still believe that if Tsvangirai goes outside the realms of the party, outside the governance of the party, constitution, etc., there is the national executive that has to put him back on rail.
But you are in there, Mr. Kapuza. I think you avoided my question. Does he listen to the last man?
He doesn't. Sometimes he listens to whoever gives him the advice. But as a leader, I think he has time to sit on his own and scrutinize and digest whatever advice he has been given. I wouldn't be in a position to say he listens to the last one. Or he listens to various people, but he takes the decision that is in the best interest of the party.
And you believe in that? He does exactly that?
Well, once in a while, of course, there could be some times when you make a misjudgment as a leader. But on the general, we are quite satisfied with his position as the leader of the party. And some of his decisions, or most of his decisions, have been quite progressive.
And now looking at issues like regional politics, at the end of the day, Matabeleland appears to be pushing the MDCT agenda, as always, you know. You've got a big support base there. And people believe that most probably you are just following Mr. Tsvangirai without opening your eyes to other, parties. What do you say to such critics?
Yeah, such critics think that politicians or followers of the MDC are children. There is nobody who is forced to follow the MDC. We are dealing with adults who have time to think about what party is better for them and can bring bread and butter onto their tables. So certainly that is very, very uncalculated criticisms. The Matabeleland are reasonable people. They are mature. They are able to make their own judgments. You can't say they are just following without easy. I see that is more of an insult to the Matabeleland followers of the MDC.
But I guess you hear this almost on a daily basis, is it?
Well, once in a while, we get to hear a lot of things, funny things for that matter. So we are used to that.
And perhaps some people are always saying that most probably the issue is that Matabeleland doesn't have a figurehead to the levels of Joshua Nkomo. Do you agree with that kind of thinking?
Well, the times of Joshua Nkomo, the politics of those days is different from the politics of today. But certainly we would be very happy to have a figurehead of that nature. But remember, by then, Matebele was just one party, and it was ZAPU. But now there are several parties. How do you get a figurehead? We have ZANU-PF, we have many other parties, we have ZAPU, we have MDC in one region, all competing for space. So each political party will certainly have its own figurehead. But with the current situations where everyone is talking of democracy, it's very rare these days that we are not in a war situation where everyone is bound to think the same and have the same respect for one individual. But now this is a democratic situation where everyone is free to make up his own opinion. So certainly it might be very uneasy to get one figurehead when there are so many contesting political parties in the region.
Now, turning to your number one enemy, ZANU-PF, is there any trick in your book that you can have to remove it from power? Because it seems as if you can't. They rig at will, as people claim, and then at the same time, they say the opposition is weak. Tell us, do you have any power to remove ZANU-PF from office?
There are two things. Certainly, if we have to remove ZANU-PF, we have to win in large numbers. It would be so difficult for them to rig. And secondly, as we see, ZANU-PF is getting weaker and weaker. It will now be very easy to beat them up, and it will be difficult for them to rig because they will certainly not agree amongst each other. So as we move in future, I'm certain and confident that there will be a different political dispensation, and our elections will certainly be different with all these squabbles in ZANU-PF. And with the poverty affecting everyone in the country, I'm sure that will force even those doubting Thomases that ZANU-PF has nothing else to offer the Zimbabwean population. So that will force people to vote in large numbers, and it will be difficult for ZANU-PF to rig.
But do you see Mr. Tsvangirai and your party pushing ZANU-PF out of power alone?
No, certainly. Certainly, he has a lot of energy. He's still very young. He has a lot of advisors and strong people around him. So there's certainly a lot of light at the end of the tunnel.
But it seems as if the MDC is getting weaker and weaker, like ZANU-PF, you know.
Well, to the contrary, actually, MDC is getting stronger and stronger. The more you identify the bad apples in the basket, I think they're better. So as soon as we get all those people who are not happy with the Congress, with the new Congress, which is going to bring usher in a strong and brand new leadership, I'm sure we know each other better now. That on its own is a strength on the MDC. We know who is who. We know who wants what, who sticks to our policies, who is still on the path with the generality of the MDC and the Zimbabwean populace. So that in itself is a strong position and a strong indicator. We are not in any way getting weaker. We are actually getting stronger.
But ZANU-PF is celebrating, saying that this is the end of the MDC.
Yeah, that celebration is going to be very short-lived. They have more problems within themselves which they should concentrate on. I certainly believe that their celebration will be short-lived. And there's no cause for celebration because they have bigger problems than we have. At least in the MDC, we are able to discuss leadership. Unlike in ZANU-PF, nobody will talk about leadership without dark forces visiting him at night. At least the fact that in MDC we are able to talk about these issues boldly and we are able to part ways and reunite and move ahead, that's a very strong characteristic of the party.
Then in terms of most probably forming a coalition with other opposition parties, which parties do you think you can form some unity of some sort with?
Well, we are open to any coalition with any party that shares our principles. As a party in the opposition, those parties that believe in a free Zimbabwe that is democratic and flourishing with everyone enjoying the country of his birthright, we are open to any coalition. We are not choosy. Even Welshmen's party is welcome to us to form up a coalition, provided they share the same democratic principles of wanting to remove ZANU-PF, not to cohabitate with ZANU-PF.
And now you believe that the leader of that coalition may come out to be Tsvangirai or some other person?
No, it can be some other person based on what the people have agreed. We are not cast in stone, but from our own survey, it's quite clear that amongst all the opposition leaders, currently Tsvangirai has got the largest support base. And certainly, if it went by democratic means to pick up a leader of the coalition, certainly the majority of people will see Tsvangirai as the best alternative to take ZANU-PF and to take Robert Mugabe.
And then some people argue, Mr. Kapusa, I have to be honest here, they argue that Mr. Tsvangirai, one, is not all that too educated. And others are also arguing that Mr. Tsvangirai is preoccupied with other issues like women, you know. And this is coming up every day. So what are you going to do about some of those issues?
Those people who are arguing are not well-researched. The very educated president of Zimbabwe has run down this country. So what is education to do with? When you are a leader, it's not about education. It's about leading, knowing what the people want, and providing all that the people want. And I'm sure Mr. Tsvangirai can ably do that. He demonstrated during the coalition when we were working with ZANU-PF. We had our uneducated Tsvangirai, as they call him, but at least the life of the people in this country had become better than when we had a highly degreed, seven-degreed President Mugabe. People are failing to get enough meals on a daily basis. So education has nothing to do with all that.
And then on women's issues, I think this is fundamental too. Address that, Mr. Kapusa.
Well, I'm not aware of how that issue comes in, because when you look at the history of all the nationalists, they've had their own social problems here and there. But what I know for now, Tsvangirai is happily married to his wife, and he's got a family. You know, he lost a wife. So those are just issues of the wayside, which might not even detract us, and they will not even detract the support base of the MDC.
And basically, advisors are there to actually advise even the president of the party on social issues. So do you sometimes have the advisors of the party and the party president telling him what to do in terms of, you know, his social interaction? I think that's where the problem is.
Well, you have to understand that when the president is advisors, he's got his personal advisors. And normally, we are not all there to understand or to know when they've advised him and when they've not. Tsvangirai is an adult. He doesn't even need a lot of advisors, political advisors on social matters. It's something that is taken and forgone, that a man of his stature will know when to do what is right and when not to do what is not right. So I don't think it's really an issue of advisors, an issue of maybe circumstances.
And at times people,
for now,
yes,
are quite comfortable.
Yes, and people sometimes say Tsvangirai doesn't even have advisors. The way he does things is haphazard, you know. He makes some arbitrary decisions and all those kind of things. So are the advisors there in the first place?
I would like to believe that once in a while he seeks advice from colleagues and from his personal advisors. I'm sure the advisors are there, but sometimes even you can get all those weaknesses, even when you have too many advisors. It's also a possibility. But certainly, if he made an error once in a while, who doesn't make errors? Even when you have advisors, once in a while, you are wrongly advised.
So then finally, do you see yourself displacing Robert Mugabe in the 2018 elections? And I know you're going to say yes, but justify it.
Of course, not me as myself as Kapusa, but certainly MDC is romping into power in 2018. And I'll justify that because we are a young, energetic, proven party. We were in the unit government and we did wonders. And everyone can see that the moment we moved out of the unit government, things started collapsing. The moment we went into the unit government, things started moving. ZANU-PF will argue sanctions, but that doesn't work now, because there were sanctions when we were in the unit government. There are still sanctions. There were sanctions before, but things have proved that it's not about sanctions, but it's in terms of an able leadership. An able government that is able to provide food on the table for the Zimbabwean population. So I'm quite confident that we'll rob into victory, and Zimbabweans can all see that ZANU-PF has nothing else to offer on the table.
And then people assume that most probably you are going to turn around even the economy. But some always say you want to get rid of President Robert Mugabe. And then what? You know?
What is important in any governance is the economy. If you get the economy wrong, there is no way your politics can be correct. If ZANU-PF continues to make blunders economically, there is no way even this economic blueprint they are talking about, Zuma said, it cannot fly as long as it's not funded. And they don't know where to get the money. They don't know how to make money. So they need to sort out the politics of the economy first so that whatever economic blueprints are being proposed are funded and are able to fly. Then people can realize the benefits of a new government.
Mr. Kabuza, thank you very much for the interview. I really appreciate the time that you gave me to talk to you.